Hi, I'm Netta, and this is Real Netta, Pieces of My Heart. Let's spend just a few minutes together talking about some helpful concepts that I've gathered in little bits and pieces over the years from my life experiences, from reading God's Word, spending time with Jesus, and just growing and learning through life, and very often it was the hard way. So hopefully you can walk away with some tiny tidbit of useful encouragement that you can apply to your life right now. So, here are the little pieces for today. It's always fun for me to meet somebody who, in the course of a conversation, says something, it reminds them of a song or a commercial ditty, and they just burst out singing it. I love that because that's how my brain works. And the song doesn't have to necessarily fit. It just is one word maybe I hear and it will remind me of it. And that is no different when I'm reading the Bible. And the songs that come to my mind may or may not have anything to do with it. For example, in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." I believe. when we just had the three girls, we hadn't had our boys yet, the Shrek movie came out, and that song was used in the movie, and the girls watched that movie over and over. Zoe was only two, and she could, like, push the buttons on the DVD player and make it go back to the beginning or go back to the song she wanted. This wasn't her favorite song, however, but it just reminded me of it. But Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So I want to just talk super briefly about believing and having faith, because very often, and I talk about this quite a bit, we think that faith is telling God how to answer our prayers. And actually, if you're reading Abraham's story, and there's an Abraham movie out now that's about him being willing to obey God and take Isaac up to the mountain. He put into action his faith, but it wasn't the actions that earned his righteousness. God counted him righteous because he believed in God. And because Abraham believed in God, he obeyed. I would like to add a side note that when we obey God, most people don't understand. And I think that's one of the hardest parts. Like, no wonder Abraham did not tell Sarah, "Hey, Sarah, God told me to take Isaac up and sacrifice him to the Lord. So, hey, I'm going to see you in a few days." Like, you know, she would have lost her mind. And there probably would have been a killing right then, maybe. I don't know, but obedience because of our faith, because we believe, doesn't look normal or even right to someone else, even to another Christian. That's a very hard thing, but it's also pretty much how it works out for us. It says in verse 5, "People are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of the faith in God who forgives their sins, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercies, he has saved me." That's another song, and I'll spare you this time. I already sang it once on another episode. It required huge physical obedience for Abraham. He had to literally change his physical self in obedience to the Lord. It talks about that in verse 11. And then in verse 17, it says, "This is what the scripture means when God told him, 'I have made you the father of many nations.' This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing." I really want to talk about believing that God can bring new things out of nothing. We use the word create a lot in our language, in our society, and we're really not using it the way it's used here, because creating something out of nothing is what create is. Now, we make stuff and we come up with things, but God can do something out of nothing. Look at verse 17 again. He who creates new things out of nothing. So let's go back to what I said about prayer. We often feel like we have to tell God how to answer our prayers. God, we need you to do this. Have this person do that. God, I just pray you do this and this and this. Oh, and he must just be shaking his head. I was with some friends recently and we literally saw a bobblehead Jesus and we were laughing like, is this even right? And then later on in the conversation, I was like, you know what? I feel like that bobblehead Jesus is really appropriate so many times because I'll say and do things or the dumb stuff I pray for. He just must be shaking his head like, oh, come on, for real? Because God has a plan. And when I'm in prayer with him, he wants me to talk through some things and he wants to talk to me, but he doesn't need me to boss him around. He already has a plan in motion and he can do something amazing out of nothing. When we lived in Detroit, the first house that we were able to buy, which was a blessing, but it was set up wrong. It was in a difficult neighborhood. It just did not work for our family. And we lived there for 5 years. And during the recession, a lot of houses were available. And there was a whole housing little neighborhood tucked away that was beautiful. And before the recession, the houses were not at all, and not even close to what we could pay. But because this was several years after the recession, we were able to afford this house, except that we didn't have a big enough down payment. So back up before that, before we ever found the house that we loved on Palliser Street, a friend of ours who started out just being an acquaintance of a friend, God moved on his heart and he gave us thousands of dollars with no strings attached. He just wanted us to have it because he appreciated what was happening through the ministry in Detroit. And that was for us to use as a down payment. And we were able to get this house in this amazing neighborhood. I mean, it was in Detroit, yes, but it was a great house. And let me just tell you, that money came out of nowhere. That was like God's answer to creating something out of nothing. Because it wasn't like we were sitting around going, Lord, we weren't even praying for a down payment. We were like, we'll just do the financing that doesn't require a down payment and maybe that'll work. But he did something out of nothing. We had no clue. And all of a sudden it came. And man, I feel like I say this so much, but when we're praying, we don't have to have all of the right things to say to tell God what to do. How silly is that? We were just being obedient in the little things he was having us do. And some of them were kind of big, but really not related to a house. And then unexpectedly, out of nowhere, he created something. It said he is able to create something out of nothing. Look further down in verse 21. He, meaning Abraham, was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. That word able is from a word called dunamis. If you translate the Hebrew into the Greek, and it's dunamis power. If you were somebody that was in Repo in Youngstown back in the 90s, you might remember a sermon series that Chili did on dunamis power. It's like hardcore, let's get tough, let's do this kind of unstoppable, mighty power. That's God. And I'm going, he can do anything. Dunamis power, might, power. And here's another part. He is capable. That's what that word means. So if I interject that in here, it goes, if I interject myself, I could say, I am fully convinced that God is completely capable, powerful, and mighty enough to do whatever he promises. And to be quite honest, at the stage that we are at right at this moment in our lives, we don't even know for sure what specific promise we're even referring to, except that we know that when he calls us, he leads us, he guides us, he cares for us. Those are like the big whoppers. And those are the things that we're hanging on to. God is capable and able Abel. I love that. A friend sent me a song the other day that had Abel in it, and I was freaking out. I was like, I just read that a few weeks ago. I love it. God is able to do whatever he promises. And the psalm that I'm memorizing this year, Psalm 144, in one of the verses, it says, Lord, reach down and rescue me. And I'm like, David didn't tell God how. He just said, rescue me. Help me. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he didn't say, so, hey, if you could make sure I have some oxygen in here so I could survive for about 3 days. And then after those 3 days, if you could just make this giant fish just go over to the shore and puke me out, that'd be great. He had no way of forming his little pea brain, because that's what we are as humans compared to God. He had no way of coming up with a plan. Just like we had no way of coming up with some possible plan that someone would be able to provide for us to have a down payment. And there's no way that I can wrap my brain around my situation now. And that might be your situation. You sit and stare at God instead of praying because you think, I don't know what to say. Tell him he's able. Tell him he's mighty. Tell him he's powerful. He knows. But he knows how awesome it is for us to remind ourselves. And ask him, rescue me, God. Reach down from heaven and rescue me. Because you are capable. And I believe. I don't earn your answers. But I'm going to be obedient to what you say. And I believe, I believe, I believe. And that is just a little piece of my heart.